Good Monday. Today is February the 10th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, we all know last year was a dry one with drought across much of the state. That has been changing across the Ohio River Valley. However, there are still some parts of Ohio experiencing mild drought conditions. We'll be back to tell you about that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the last several months have seen a big improvement in drought conditions over the eastern Midwest. Now, back in late October, some phase of dryness or drought covered more than 88% of the National Weather Service Ohio Valley River Forecast Center region. That, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, that dryness notably affected yields. USDA's 2024 annual crop summary showed the Ohio corn yield at 177 bushels per acre, that being 21 bushels per acre less than it was in 2023. And other states in the Ohio Valley had yield declines as well, ranging anywhere from 5 to 20 bushels per acre less. The scene, at least in terms of drought assessment, is now much more favorable in early 2025. The late January U.S. Drought Monitor placed just 26% of the National Weather Center Service Ohio Valley forecast region in some phase of dryness or drought, about 70% less than that at the end of October of 24. Even the hardest hit portions of that region, being southeast Ohio, northern West Virginia, and southwest Pennsylvania, has shown improvement of three categories, from exceptional drought, which is D4, to moderate drought, which is D1. Now, as we talk about this region, that includes all of Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, and Kentucky, as well as parts of Illinois, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. Now, several short and long-term atmospheric features have helped bring moisture back to the Ohio Valley region. In late September 24, the Ohio Valley's location packed it in line for a favorable rain from the remnants of Hurricane Helene, compared with the catastrophic flooding that occurred down in southern Appalachians. Additional periods of moisture occurred as the atmosphere became more active across the Midwest during the last 3 months of 2024. The active pattern in late fall and since has been more due to the MJO, that's the Madden-Julian Oscillation, and the Pacific Trough scenario through the northern Pacific, that according to DTN meteorologist John Barnick. That viewpoint is echoed by Ohio State climatologist Aaron Wilson. I would say that the conditions have improved when it comes to precipitation and some impacts on the surface, including soil moisture, pasture conditions, and water levels since early November, Wilson said. The improvements began as the pattern became more active in November and December. Now, looking to the remainder of the winter and into the spring, climate and weather experts agree that La Nina in the Pacific Ocean, which developed later than expected, has begun to influence the Ohio Valley's moisture fortunes. One of La Nina's notable features is that storm track configuration that focuses on precipitation in the eastern Midwest. We've been waiting for this La Nina pattern to really kick in, and signs are there for sure, Wilson said. Now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Central Region Climate Services Director Doug Kluck agreed with that La Nina is likely to have a greater impact on Ohio Valley precipitation during the last few weeks of winter and into spring. Often it is the late winter into spring, which would be February through March, that La Nina has the largest impact across the Ohio Basin and surrounding areas, Kluck said. Barnick noted that La Nina could enhance any expected storm pattern over the central U.S. during the first half of February. A stormy pattern suggests a collection of chances for additional precipitation across the Midwest. Yes, it's going to be quite the active pattern, offering up multiple chances for rain and snow events. We have seemingly four systems in the pipeline for the next 2 weeks, Barnick said, and if La Nina can hang on, this would extend further out as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions. You know, we've had some instances of power outages, and that can be caused by extreme cold in different parts of the country. Now, that causes people to wonder sometimes, how do they keep their refrigerated and frozen foods cold and safe? USDA's Rod Bain has these tips.
Bitter cold weather experienced by several parts of the nation over the past 2 weeks. That even included locales like a stretch of the Deep South, where sub-freezing temperatures and even snow are rare occurrences. In some cases, the power outages caused by these conditions served as a reminder in food safety.
Just kind of knowing the general basics about food safety and power outages and some tips and things to do can be helpful in saving your food.
Meredith Carruthers of USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service provides some rules of thumb regarding how long food in a refrigerator or freezer remains safe after those appliances lose power. First, remember that cold will be retained inside a fridge or freezer after the power goes out. However,
food needs to be below 40 degrees Fahrenheit in the refrigerator to be considered safe. So once that temperature starts creeping above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, you've reached the danger zone and it's going to only have a certain amount of time before it's unsafe.
As for the length of time where a refrigerator retains a safe temperature for food,
on average, a refrigerator that has no power is going to keep a safe temperature for about 4 hours.
Consideration needs to be made prior to the 4-hour deadline about transferring food inside the fridge to a cooler with ice to keep it safe until the power returns. If a cooler or ice are not available after those 4 hours, refrigerated food needs to be discarded. Carruthers explains what should be considered perishable and unsafe to consume or use.
Some of those things that would be unsafe would be your raw meats and poultry, your cooked leftovers, anything that's a leftover that has been cooked would need to be tossed, your dairy products, eggs, any soft cheeses, any fruit and vegetables that are already cut. So whole fruits like a whole apple or a whole carrots or something like that, those are safe and fine. But if it's been cut or if it's been pre-washed, then it needs to be discarded. And then an array of condiments and things.
Regarding safe storage of food inside a freezer that loses power,
it's going to maintain that cold temperature and keep that food at a safe temperature for about 24 hours if it's half full and 48 hours if it's full. The reason the 48 hours if it's full is because the more food that's in there that's frozen is kind of acting as a cold source for itself. As it's thawing, it's still emitting cold temperatures for that longer amount of time.
Now, some folks faced in this situation during bitter winter conditions, well, they try to be creative in keeping their food safe as they
try to store food outside, use the outside temperature as almost like their nature's refrigerator.
And while possible, this can be done safely.
We really try and encourage not to use outside as an option for storage of food.
Due to unpredictability of storage conditions, from varying temperatures to potential contamination by animals and bacteria. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.